Alcoholics are back in the bus, baby! All he can see is white light, and that rim is as big as a manhole cover right now. He's having an out-of-body experience.
Good golly, Miss Bowling. We are on a magic carpet ride with Ray Allen at the control.
They're getting down, getting dirty, they're getting wicked.
Rebound collected by the Rain Man. Shovels out ahead to Payton. Leans over to dribble. Hopping and popping up the center of the floor. Jam step right. Yes. Over into the lane with the left.
See
the
ya.
Up and in. He took it alone and laid it home. Gary Payton with a crossover dash to the rack. Try to come to Gary in the flow. Lob pass. Kemp. Oh, I got it.
Love.
And he slings down a thunder block with a right hand. Sean Kemp over the Illustrated Man. A Herculean royal flush by the Kemper.
Sonics Nation Worldwide, thank you for downloading the first ever edition of the Magic Carpet Ride, a Seattle Supersonics podcast and the official podcast of SB Nation's newest site, sonicsrising.com. I am your host, Joel Ashby, and it's my hope to connect with all the Seattle Supersonics fans, not only in Seattle and not only in Washington State, but I know you're out there in North America and around the globe. If that's the case, I'd love for you to hit me up with an email or a tweet. Let me know where you are, and I'd love to mention you on the show to connect all the Sonics fans as we get together and anticipate, finally, our team, the green and gold, is going to be coming back. Are you ready for it, Sonics fans? Hey, listen, to get you prepared, I'm going to go out and find professionals who are covering the NBA and the various teams around the league, get them on the show, and we're going to talk Seattle Supersonics. To start our very first episode, why not go to home base, sonicsrising.com. We have senior editor Kevin Nusgoda with us. We also have editor Chris Myros. And hey, it's a special treat. First edition is going to be a two-parter. The first part is going to be, we're going to talk about the Seattle Supersonics. We're going to reminisce a little bit. We're going to talk about the site, sonicsrising.com, and what we can expect from the guys who write there. And then the second part, we're going to go talk 2013 NBA draft, talk a little bit of college, some of the prospects coming out of there. And then we're going to finish off talking about the NBA matchups, the playoffs that are coming up here. And man, it's coming up really fast. So listen. Thank you again for downloading, and without any more ado, let's get to an interview with Kevin and Chris. All right, well, we have a couple guys on the line that I'm very excited to talk about. From SonicsRising.com, Kevin Nusgoda, the senior editor of SonicsRising.com. How you doing, Kevin?
Doing good. How about you, Joel?
Hey, fantastic. Excited to be here. Excited that we're actually talking Sonics. We're doing a Sonics podcast. I'm pumped here. We also have Chris Myros, another editor from SonicRising.com. Chris, how are you feeling?
Doing pretty well. We're expecting 15 inches of snow tonight, so just trying to keep ahead of things.
Chris, now where are you coming to us from?
I'm in southern Minnesota, of all places.
Fantastic. I guess the first thing I want to do with both of you guys is, you know, we've read a lot of your stuff, but I think for me, I always kind of like to know backgrounds of where you guys come from, what's kind of your history as far as being a basketball fan, being a Sonics fan. So why don't you give us just a little snippet of that? Why don't we start with you, Kevin?
The first basketball game I remember watching was with my dad. I think it was a regular season game against the Rockets, and he was really excited about it. And I think it ended up being like that one triple overtime game that didn't seem to end. And that's when I really got hooked. Eddie Johnson, Derek McKee. I think this was pre-Gary Payton type years. Ricky Pierce was on the team, I believe, as well. But, you know, my dad brought home a Pietro's pizza, and he's like, all right, it's time for you to start liking basketball. We're going to watch this game together. And that's kind of where it took off.
Right on. And Chris, what about you?
You know, I came about being a Sonics fan in possibly the most random way imaginable. I grew up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and South Dakota is by no means a hotbed for Sonics fans. And I was in a YMCA basketball camp back in the early to mid 80s. Couldn't tell you what year. I don't remember. But I was in a basketball camp, and they divided us because they just threw all the kids together by age and then divided you up and put you into teams for the week. And they gave each team an NBA team basketball, you know, a basketball name of an NBA team. And I was thrown on the Sonics. And I was like in third, fourth grade at this point. I honestly don't know. And I had never heard of the Sonics. Never. I mean, I knew of the Lakers. I knew the Celtics. That was the Magic and the Bird era. And, you know, I knew of those things, but who were these Sonics? So that just sparked curiosity in me, went and researched it, and decided to take them on as my team and became a fan and started following them through the Tom Chamber years and all those things, and missed out on the championship, unfortunately. I was a bit late to that party, but, you know, was a fan since, I don't know, the mid-80s, I guess, at least.
So let me ask you guys both a question. I mean, often when we sit around and talk about Sonics with me and some of my friends, we always talk about our favorite moments. And it's kind of funny for me, when I look back, some of my favorite moments aren't the obvious ones. Mine are kind of random. When you think about looking back on the Sonics, what are kind of some of the memories that stand out for you?
The Game 7 in the 96 Western Conference Finals against Utah definitely stands out as probably my favorite memory, just because everybody kept in high school kept telling me, it's like, the Sonics, they're going to choke again. They're not going to make the finals. I'm like, yeah, right. They're going to make the finals. They're going to beat the Bulls. I know it. You know, but they, you know, obviously fell short against the Bulls. But, you know, just them beating the Jazz was absolutely amazing, because I think at the time the Jazz were probably my most hated team. Just couldn't stand Stockton and Malone, and and you know, there was a time that I actually got to meet John, or kind of meet John Stockton, at a Pizza Hut in Spokane. He was with his family, I was with my family, and my, you know, after done eating, my dad was like, can we get an autograph? And Stockton was really cool, and he was like, yeah. So he signs an autograph for my brother, my sister, my dad, and he goes, how about you? I look at him dead in the eye, and I go, not from you. And I walked out and waited by the car until my family came out. But outside of that, I mean, obviously, you know, the 96 season, the first time I ever cried during a sporting event was Game 5 of the 94 quarterfinals against Denver. That was really, really heartbreaking.
Wow. Chris, man, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, my, I guess, strongest memories are different than my favorite memories. I was in the Denver area when the Sonics lost to Denver in the playoffs. And when there was a, what year was that, 94?
94, yeah.
With Dikembe Mutombo laying on the floor, holding the basketball above his head. I was in the the lair, I guess, of Nuggets fans at that moment. My relatives were Nuggets fans, and I was at their home when that went down. So I had to suffer that humiliation up front and in person with Nuggets fans. And I was related to them, which made it worse, I suppose. But that is quite a memory, unfortunately. One of the greatest memories I had is I went to, in 1994, I want to say, to a Sonics game against the Timberwolves, kind of magical games. And, of course, it was when the Timberwolves, I mean, were just completely, horrifically, absolutely terrible. So it was, you know, a knife through hot butter. The competition was thin. But in that particular game, it was just the most spectacular game to go to. Sean Kemp had something like 28 points on 12 dunks, and every single one of those dunks were just thunderous, and every single one was something different, unique, whether it was, you know, one-handed tomahawk, two-handed reverse, over a guy. I mean, it was just like every imaginable scenario. And here I am, you know, like the one Sonic fan in all of Minnesota at the moment, you know, at the game, and there's 10, 12, 13,000 other people there, and I was quite boisterous and loud. I was a college football player, so I didn't really have a lot of inhibition. And some of the drunken Minnesota fans weren't taking a liking to me. So it was a little tense for my smaller college roommate who was with me at the time, and he was getting a little nervous, but no harm done, I guess. But that was a pretty fantastic time just to see. And I think the Sonics won by, 25. It wasn't even a game. But it was a great time.
I'm from Vancouver, Canada, so I grew up watching all of the NBA, but the Sonics weren't my team. I think the Phoenix Suns with Charles Barkley were, and then finally in Vancouver we actually got a team in '95, and so it was incredible. And the only team that really people cheered for over the Grizzlies, other than I suppose the Chicago Bulls, was the Sonics. And the Sonics would come up, and I'd be so mad that everybody's cheering more for the Sonics than for our own Grizzlies team. And that was kind of six years of, I don't think that we won more than 26 games and in any of those 6 year seasons. So once the Grizzlies left, I was like, well, I need my NBA. So ever since then, we drove down to, 10 or 12 Sonics games a year. So my memories of the Sonics are way more recent than your guys's, and they're actually pretty random. Oddly enough, one of my favorite memories was in, I think it was the 2005 series against the Kings, and then against the Spurs the next round when we won the division, when Jerome James would wear that garbage bag after games and interviews. You guys remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
he was
confused as to what the hell he was doing.
Yeah, I know, and he was so cocky, and like this guy, throughout the whole season he was brutal, and then all of a sudden he had these two, at least one and a half great series. So that was one of my fun memories. Another one was, I went to, I think it was in 2001, I went to a game. Desmond Mason had this slam, like buzzer beater slam dunk to put the game into overtime against the Charlotte Hornets. And me and my buddies had moved down. I think we were in like row 3 because we had just moved down to find empty seats. And so the whole, just watching a game live right in front of you like that was fantastic. And then obviously Desmond Mason's play was fantastic too. So those are a couple of my memories. Let's talk a little bit of fun reminiscing as far as the Sonics go. Right now, Steve is putting on Sonics Rising, the top 10 Sonics of all time. But I'd like to do something a little bit different. Can we go through some of the top potential Sonics of all time? Guys who pretty much showed nothing but potential, and that's kind of all they came up with. Can you guys? When I say that, does anybody come to mind for you guys?
Scottie Barrows.
Dana Barrows, Scotty
Pippen. Does Scotty Pippen really count since he never actually put on the jersey?
I don't know. He's the one that slipped through the fingers. That one's painful.
Okay, now when you guys were there when they drafted him, what was in your minds when they drafted Scotty Pippen and then traded him? Like, what were you guys thinking?
I don't think at that point anybody knew anything about Scotty Pippen, that he was going to be what he became.
Yeah, I think everybody was excited to get Olden Polonese, but yeah, you look at it now, it's a no-brainer. You could have possibly had a team of Payton, Pippen, and Kemp. I mean, obviously Pippen could have escalated draft picks and could have screwed things up, but to get those guys, and we could have ended it up with like a Derek Coleman or something like that instead, but who knows? It's a what-if game, but yeah,
yeah, but
the whole Pippen.
Can you imagine Can you imagine Nate McMillan and Gary Payton as your guards on defense, Scottie Pippen on a wing? I mean, that is locked down.
You could have had us at our current ages back then and, still probably would have been the best defensive team in the league.
A couple names I'm thinking. Here's one guy that went, or a couple guys, three guys actually, when we drafted them, I was really hopeful. Three centers in a row that we drafted. Robert Swift, Mo Sene, and Johan Petro. And like, I'm
and
a draft
one of those
guy.
Guys are still in the league.
I know. I'm a draft guy, so that's probably my favorite time of the year, and I guess it's cuz I was a Grizzlies fan back in the day that just, you didn't really have playoffs, so the most thing you were excited about was potential. So you look at the draft and who you're going to get, and so all three of these guys every year I was like, "All right, well, okay, the last guy didn't work out. This guy's going to work out." So those three guys definitely have to be on the all nothing but potential roster. And yeah, only one of them's left.
Yeah.
Petro's playing pretty good with the Hawks.
He's been playing good in spurts.
He had that one monster stunk, like I think it was about a week and a half ago, that was, I think, a top five SportsCenter play, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's the highlight of his career.
Yeah, probably. I would say another one, and probably the one that sticks out to me the most, is Bunny Benjamin, another big man who just never got there.
Yeah.
And truthfully, another one, Vin Baker.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's true. Yeah, big time.
Yeah. He had that one good game against Chicago, like in 97, 98, 98. Yeah.
All right.
Let's not talk about Vin Baker.
Yeah, hey. Yeah. One more Sonic topic, and then we'll move on to talk some current stuff in the NBA. Unsung heroes, guys that you're never going to see on a top whatever Sonics, but guys that are the unsung heroes, the guys that never really got the credit or the applause, but you know they were who they were and they made the team great.
First name that pops in my head is Vincent Askew. I absolutely love that guy. I thought he was a good lockdown defender, came off the bench, did all the little dirty work, him and Frank Bukowski during that championship run. Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think Vincent Askew and Frank Bukowski get enough love outside of the hardcore fans. But Vincent Askew was vastly underrated.
Chris, what about you?
Well, the sports SB Nation guys over on the Nuggets side just did a thing on David Wingate, so I think he probably does fit that pretty well. Another one would be, well, maybe not at the same level. I really think Della Shrimp was never really given the credit he was due. I mean, he filled a great hole in that team, other than he was a defensive hole, but he was just there, and you needed one night, if you needed 28 points, the guy could fill that hole. It was just, he was just there. If you needed some rebounds, he was there. He was kind of always cunning beyond his age, and he was kind of wily as a veteran too beyond that. And I don't know, he just had a game that I think was pretty nondescript a lot of the time, but you'd look at the stat sheet afterwards and go, wow, he really filled the stat sheet.
And he had the highest arc on any jump shot I've ever seen. Well, if you can call a shot a jump shot, but that thing would go up into the stratosphere, come down with ice on it. And I tried to emulate his shot a little bit when I was a kid, but I could never get the ball to do what it did for him, which was basically not hit the rim and go in.
My guys, again, are going to be a little more recent and not near. I mean, again, all the Sonics did around the period that I was watching was win one division and go to the second round. But a guy like Reggie Evans, even now, I think I was watching a game tonight, and somebody had referred to Reggie Evans as the most underrated player in the league as far as his defense and rebounding goes. Guy like him. And then another guy who started his career with the Sonics, but was Nick Collison. He's still continues to be one of the most, I think, underrated guys in the league as well.
I love Nick Collison. I'm really sad that he's still with OKC, but at least he lives here in the offseason. But I didn't realize this until I was watching the Knicks game the other day, but this is Nick Collison's ninth year in the league.
Yeah.
He's 32 years old. That just, I don't know why, just blows my mind. That means like he was 26, 27 when he left Seattle to go to when the team left. And we've missed Nick Collison's prime, really. And it's sad.
Two Ridenour was drafted in that same year, and he's still running. I mean, he's starting sometimes. Like he's still running with the with the best of them in Minnesota there. Those two guys were two of my favorites, definitely.
Yeah, class of 04. I think we drafted them in 04. And, another mind-blowing thing is Luke Ridenour is now a starting shooting guard in the NBA.
Yeah. That probably says more about Minnesota than about Luke.
Yeah. I suppose you're right. Well, let's talk a little bit of current NBA. I mean, Who are you guys cheering for? Who are your teams, considering the Sonics aren't around?
I've tried to. I became kind of, after you kind of like had that breakup and you kind of play the field a little bit is how I felt after the Sonics left. I was a Hawks fan at one point, Warriors, tried the Suns, did the Knicks thing. I always tried to like, keep it. I didn't want to like start pulling for a team that was like a front runner immediately. So, honestly, I just couldn't invest myself into a team fully, so I just got league pass and started watching four or five games a night and just said, here we go.
Wait. 4 or 5 games a night?
Yeah, and plus some random college games too. My wife absolutely hates basketball season.
Yeah, I guess so, man. Chris, what about you?
On the departure of the Sonics, I really took quite a bit of time off. mostly just maybe tuning in to playoff games, and even then mostly indifferently for quite some time. So I, you know, haven't strongly picked that torch back up. I do watch some. You know, if I had to pick a team to watch right now, that's a good question. You know, I like the Pacers because they play defense. I love watching Houston, but only because James Harden is fantastically entertaining. So it's hard not to watch that action. And Golden State's fun to watch. I mean, they've got a team that when they put it together, they really got a entertaining brand of basketball. It's just how often do they put it together is a question. And beyond that, you know, I'll watch, you know, I'll even watch the Thunder and lament painfully the what could be but isn't. And, you know, just watching that kind of thing. I was watching the Bulls for a while, but kind of lost the interest without Derrick Rose playing there. The rest of the team is... they're a good team, but they're just uninspiring to watch on a day-to-day basis. So, yeah, I just haven't really latched on. And, you know, you'd think, obviously, I could pick the Timberwolves, but, you know, and I do catch more Timberwolves than anything because they're on local TV, but I still don't resonate well with them. I love Kevin Love's game, and, you know, it's exciting to have Ricky Rubio here.
Yeah, Rubio, man, yeah.
Yeah. If they get healthy, you know, it may be something I'll give more attention to, but... So far, it looks like Kevin Love's doing his best to blow that up, and Rubio's just finally getting his legs back under him. So,
gentlemen, I want to thank you for your time. I think I've kept you longer than I think I promised, so I appreciate you guys being gracious and talking a few extra minutes than you had thought. But quickly, just give me a little preview of what we can expect over the next, I don't know, a few weeks, months, in regards to SonicsRising.com.
Well, it could honestly go a couple ways. You know, we get good news on the 19th, and then, you know, we're not going to reminisce on what happened. I mean, we're going to go straight into basketball. I mean, there's a lot of our fan base who hasn't watched a game. I'm going to say about 80% of the people have not watched a single minute of the NBA since the Sonics left, so... We have 5 months to re-educate people.
All right. Do you think that's the case? Hey, most of Seattle has what gotten into other sports? So like, are they Sounders fans? What's happened to the fans of Seattle that were Sonics fans?
Well, I think some of it is you've had a good run with the Seahawks. So that's been an easy transition from just the point that it's easy to jump on the bandwagon of a winning team. The Sounders is entertaining infinitely, and they're a good team. I think college basketball absorbed a lot of it. You've got local teams, and you've had, you know, Gonzaga obviously isn't local, but they're in the region, of at least state-wise. And so there's been something going on there all the time that it hasn't just been a complete vacuum. So people have been able to migrate other directions, and some just, you know, like myself, have largely just stepped back and been, you know, if not negative about it, just largely indifferent. And, you know, I haven't avoided basketball. I watch it when it's on, but, you know, I'm certainly not going out of my way. Like even the championship games this last year, I didn't go out of my way to go watch. It just, there wasn't enough there compelling me to be interested to go seek out a TV and spend the time to sit down in front of it to watch your basketball game. So yeah, I think there is, as Kevin is saying, there is a significant disenfranchised fan base that is really just waiting in the wings, anticipating, you know, what is hopefully to come in just a few short days.
There's only 10 more.
Only 10 more. These are the 10 longest days of our lives. I kind of feel like
it really is.
I check my Twitter more than I should, trying to check up any news. Anytime that Chris Daniels says anything, I'm jumping on and reading every word and living and dying by it all. But so we wait for the 19th. Until then, look and read these guys on SonicsRising.com. I want to thank you, Kevin and Chris, for your time. We'll definitely have you guys on again. Thank you so much.
All right, that's going to be it for part one. Make sure you download part two. We're going to be talking about the upcoming NBA draft. We're going to be talking about the playoff picture in the NBA with Chris and with Kevin. Also, make sure to keep checking SonicsRising.com for all your daily updates, hourly updates, it seems sometimes, on the King sale. Also, there's Seattle Supersonics forums, and there's various forums on some of the NBA games that are played throughout the week. Hey, listen, if you want to hit me up, send me an email. My email address is themagiccarpetridepodcast@gmail.com. Also hit me up on Twitter, MCRpodcast. All right, make sure to download part two. God bless you guys and keep spreading the supersonic love. Get on the magic carpet and ride.